A stanza from the well-known hymn Shiva Mahimna Stotram, hymn describing the glories of Lord Shiva. This particular stanza was quoted in English translation by Swami Vivekananda in his lecture at the World Parliament of Religions in 1893 in Chicago. The gist of this hymn is that very many seekers all over the world are seeking the same goal of illumination, but they're all traveling by different paths. The paths are many, the destination is the same. So, to emphasize the harmony of religions, Swamiji quoted this verse in English translation. Om Trayi Sankhyam Yoga Pashupati Matam Vaishnavamiti Prabhinne Prasthane Paramida Madhapathyamiti Cha Ruchinam Vaichitriya Drujukutilanana Patajusham Drunameko Gamyaha Tvamasi Payasam Arnava Iva. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Various are the paths laid down in the Vedas, Sankhya, Yoga and Shaiva and Vaishnava scriptures. Of these, some people take to one and some to another as the best suited to them. Devotees follow these diverse paths, straight or crooked, according to their different tendencies. Yet, O Lord, Thou alone art the ultimate goal of all seekers, as is the ocean the ultimate goal of all rivers. Om peace, may there be peace in our hearts, may there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Let us continue our study of the qualities of a sthita prajna, a person whose awareness is steadily established in the divine presence within oneself and in all. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, beginning from verse 55 until the end of the chapter, Sri Krishna has given a detailed description of such a person. And when we began this study of this topic some weeks ago, we noted that there are two reasons why this list has been given in this scripture. Sri Krishna has given lists of qualities of different types of seekers, devotees, jnanis, in different places in the Gita. The purpose is twofold. One is to recognize such a person who has some of these qualities, so we can emulate such a person. The second reason why such detailed lists of qualities are given is that these qualities also serve as things for us to do, to practice ourselves. We, each one of us, have to try to become one such illumined person. That is the goal of our life. It's not enough to see these qualities in others, but we also should practice these virtues and ourselves become Sthita Prajna in our lives. Last time we were studying one of the qualities of Sthita Prajna, and that was Sthita Prajna. Sthita Prajna means, Sthita means fixed, firm. Prajna means awareness. One whose awareness is firmly fixed in the divine presence within. Ordinarily, it is not for most people. Our awareness is scattered in the various objects in this world. We look outside in this world and notice many things, and we are occupied with other things in the outside world. Rarely do we ever sit down and look inwards to see the divine presence within. But such a person is always uninterruptedly aware of his divine presence, not only in oneself and in all others and everything also, animate, inanimate, in the whole of nature. It's only divine that is present. What else is there besides he? That constant awareness, unwavering awareness of the divine presence, is what we should aim at. Such a person is called Sthita Prajna, a person of steady wisdom, a sage of steady wisdom. One thing such a person does is to withdraw the sense organs from their tendency to go and seek contact with sense objects outside, with the hope that such contact will bring pleasure. It is the natural tendency of our mind and our sense organs, especially the five sense organs of perception, jnanendriyas, to always seek contact with sense objects. Why this tendency is there? Because we think that such contact that a sense organ with a sense organ with a sense object brings pleasure. That is our contention. It was examined in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, earlier in this same chapter, 14th verse. There Sri Krishna says it doesn't work that way. We have to ask ourselves, where is the locus of happiness? Is it in the sense object? If it were in the sense objects, then three things must happen. The same sense object must provide happiness at all times. Second thing is, more of this must provide more happiness. And third thing is, it must provide happiness to everybody. Then we can say there is happiness in it. Gives happiness to everybody, it gives happiness at all times, more of it gives more happiness. None of these three things is true if we analyze. If we have more sense objects, it does not necessarily translate into more happiness. It does not. If you eat one scoop of ice cream, you find happiness. If you eat six scoops of ice cream, you don't find six times happiness. You will have to seek medical intervention. So you can give your own examples. More is not necessarily better. And the same object does not always give us happiness. What makes us happy today, the very same object gives us unhappiness or pain at a later stage in time. And the same sense object does not give happiness to everybody. Some people like this one, some people cannot stand this one. Especially in relationships, this happens. We can see changing nature of relationships. So all this must make us ask the question, where is the locus of happiness? The sages did that one, just that one, that inquiry. And they came to the conclusion that this happiness that sometimes seems to come from sense objects is really not coming from where it seems to be coming from. It is coming from the self within. That's the only source of joy. Satchidananda is sitting right within each one of us, unconditionally, at all times, whether we are aware of it or not, whether we believe it in it or not, his presence is given, unconditional. That's where we have to seek happiness. So that is why Asita Prajna does not look out to sense objects for happiness, but looks within for happiness. That's where they find infinite, eternal fountain of joy, unconditional fountain of joy, regardless of external conditions. That is what Asita Prajna does. Unnecessary contact with sense objects, such a person does not engage in. That was given in verse number 58. Yada samharate chayam kurmongani vasarvashaha indriyani indriyarthebhyaha tasya prajna pratishthita. A person who withdraws the sense organs from their tendency to seek contact with sense objects with the hope of finding happiness, such a person is a person of steady wisdom. When we see this one, a question arises in our minds. If I withdraw all my sense organs from the sense objects, then how can I live? I have to see, I have to hear, I have to touch, I have to taste, I have to smell, I have to eat, I have to speak. I can't close all my sense organs, sit down in a room. I have to act, take action. Otherwise, even without taking action, even body maintenance cannot be done. In the third chapter, Sri Krishna says, if you don't take any action, if you want to remain totally inactive, it's not possible. Even for the maintenance of the body, we need to act. Sharira yatra pichade na prasiddhit akarmanaha, Sri Krishna says. So action is necessary. Action happens when sense organs interact with sense objects. But here Sri Krishna says, Asita Prajna, sage of steady wisdom, withdraws sense organs from sense objects. So what are we supposed to do? The answer is given in the Bhagavad Gita elsewhere. A person of steady wisdom does take action, does interact with sense objects. We can't live without interaction with sense objects. But in a controlled way, not to fulfill some desire, selfish desire for pleasure, but to fulfill the duties. One reason why we all have to act, we have to take action, we can't remain inactive, we cannot and we should not. Physically, it is impossible to remain inactive even for a short period of time. It's a physical impossibility to remain inactive. We have to breathe, we have to think, we have to eat, we have to walk. So a sage of steady wisdom does take action, does interact with sense objects, but in a controlled way, in a purposeful way. How such a person takes action is indicated in several places in the Gita. In one place, chapter 3, verse 7, Sri Krishna says, a person of steady wisdom interacts with sense objects, performs action according to the instructions of karma yoga, controlling the sense organ, controlling the mind. Not for fulfilling pleasures, but to fulfill one's duties, obligatory duties, and also as a means to realization. This is a very important thing. In the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna has said, work is necessarily a means to God realization. If you want to realize God, we have to work. So work is necessary. Work means interaction with sense objects. But when you interact with sense objects, when you do work, how we should do? Here in the 7th verse, chapter 3, Sri Krishna says, Yastu indriyani manasa niyamya aravate arjuna karmendriyai karmayogam asakta savishishyate. We have to perform all actions as a karma yogi does, controlling the mind, controlling sense organs according to laws of karma yoga. What are the laws of karma yoga? How does a sita prajna perform actions? That is explained in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We all perform actions, but all actors, performers of action, are not alike. Some are sattvic workers. They work in a sattvic way. Some are rajasic workers. With a rajasic frame of mind, we act. And some are tamasic workers. In a tamasic frame of mind, we work. A sita prajna, a sage of study wisdom, performs all actions, necessary actions, not unnecessary actions, as a sattvic worker, sattvic style of working, sattvic way of working. What is that? What is rajasic way of working? What is tamasic way of working, which we should avoid? And what is sattvic way of working, which we should follow? Those three things are given in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. A sita prajna, a person of steady wisdom, works as a sattvic worker. Sattvic means a person who is pure in mind, without expecting selfish benefits from one's own activities, without seeking name and fame and glory and popularity, but for a purposeful end, without expecting fruits of action for one's own benefit. A person of steady wisdom performs all obligatory duties. That is described in three verses in the 18th chapter of the Gita, verses 26, 27 and 28. Now let us see how a sita prajna, a sage of steady wisdom, performs all required duties. You all have required duties, obligatory duties. Many people have to go to work every day. They have to perform duties at home, in the workplace, every place else. We can't remain inactive. We have to be active. We have to do required duties, obligatory duties. But how? That is explained in verse number 26 in chapter 18. There, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Mukta sango naham vadi drityutsaha samanvitaha siddhya siddhyor nirvikaraha karta sattvika uchyate. Sattvika karta. Karta means doer. Performer of action. A sattvic performer of action, which we should all try to be, performs all obligatory duties in the following way. One, mukta sangaha, free from attachment. Attachment means, as Sri Ramakrishna explains, attachment means putting I and mine where they don't belong. Putting I and mine where they don't belong. So without introducing I and mine elements, action has to be done. And this opportunity to perform this action has come. It's a welcome opportunity. By doing this action with a pure mind, with a selfless motive, and regardless of consideration for success or failure or benefit, I am offering it to the divine as my offering. I am doing all this action as my worship, humble worship, that will purify my mind and pave the way for realization. That is how actions performed in a sattvic fashion paves the way for realization. That is what Sri Ramakrishna said in the gospel. Work is a means to realize God. We should not shun work. Obligatory work we have to do in a nice way. How? Fasting. Mukta sangaha, free from attachment. In an objective way, not mine, but it is everybody's. The result is not only for me, for everybody's good, in the larger good. Keeping in mind the largest possible context, we have to perform all our actions. Not in a personal context only. No, what benefit do I get from this work? What is in it for me? No. If it benefits me and other people also, animals and plants and nature, then something that is necessary to be done. If I am the right person to do it, If I have the ability to do it, if I have the resources to do it, then I will do this. This is required of me. Mukta Sangha, free from attachment, first thing. Second thing is anahamvadi. Aham means I. Taking the I as much as possible away from the work situation. See, Ramakrishna and other people of that type, great sages, they never said, I am doing this one. Rarely can you catch Sri Ramakrishna saying, I. At best, he would say, those who come here, they get their doubts cleared. He would not say, I am answering everybody's question, clearing everybody's doubt, I am teaching everybody. He never said that one. But he was doing it all the time. The I is the one that causes limitation. So, anahamvadi means without putting the I in it, in the work situation, doing everything as offering. Not for me, but for the sake of the Lord. Not for my benefit, but for the benefit of everybody. Not for my own profit, but as an offering to the divine, for offering to everybody, to everything, as worship. With great devotion, with great joy and efficiency, we have to do all our actions. That is sattvic action. Mukta sango naham vadi dhriti utsaha samanvita. Dhriti means steadiness, perseverance. Sometimes we start something that somehow it doesn't seem to work, some obstruction comes, and we drop it and do something else. That perseverance must be there. Dhriti means steadiness and perseverance, not sporadically. Sometimes enthusiasm comes, we do a lot of work, and sometimes for several days nothing happens, not in an intermittent fashion, but steadily. Dhriti, utsaha samanvitaha, utsaha means with enthusiasm. Not half-heartedly, whatever work we do, whether it is simple tasks, just like cooking, cleaning, folding laundry, taking children to school activities, or whatever we are doing, our worship, or whatever we are doing, our professional work in the work situation, it has to be done with enthusiasm, utsaha samanvitaha, not perfunctorily, but with interest, with enthusiasm. A person of steady wisdom works in this way. Siddhya siddhyor nirvikara. This has come many times in the Gita. Siddhi means success. Asiddhi means failure. When you do some work, we don't know in advance whether we succeed or not. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we fail in our work. But whether we encounter success or failure in our work, we should remain calm in success and failure. This idea of remaining equanimous in success and failure has come in many places in the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Krishna stressed this idea of remaining equanimous, not being disturbed by success or failure. We aim for success, but it's not always given to us to succeed. As you have seen earlier in other contexts, success or failure is not in our hands. Effort is in our hands. What we do, how we do, how much we do, that's all in our hands. But what happens is not in our hands. The very famous verse in the second chapter of the Gita, verse 47, there Sri Krishna says, you only have jurisdiction in the sphere of your work. You don't have any right to dictate the outcome of your work. That we have to remember. Because when we do some work, the result is not entirely determined by us. Whatever I put into the work, that is within my control. How much I do, what methodology I use, what materials I use, when do I do it, how do I do it, those are all within my control. I can determine those things. But what happens when the outcome comes is determined not only by what I put into that work, but by other factors over which we have no control. That we studied earlier. Result of action is not determined entirely but by what we put into the action, but by other factors. They come into play, alter the equation, outcome depends upon many other factors besides what I put into this work as my input. And those over other factors, I don't have full control. We don't even know what other factors are affecting. our work, the result of our work. Therefore, siddhya siddhyo nirvikara means doing the best that we can do in terms of our input, what we do. But when the result comes, success or failure, whether you like it or not, accepting it calmly. Nirvikara means without being perturbed and remaining unperturbed in success and failure. Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. That is a quality of a sattvic worker. This is a prajna, a sage of study wisdom, does all the required duties but remains unperturbed when the result comes. If the result is not up to the liking, is not up to par, what was expected, he remains unperturbed. If it exceeds expectations, that also does not make him arrogant or jubilant. Same, accepting everything in stride, success or failure. That's how we have to do our work. Siddhya siddhyor nirvikaraha karta svatika vachate. Such a person is a sattvic worker. That's what Siddha Prajna does. That's what we should aim at. When we study these qualities of a sage of steady wisdom, we should ask ourselves this question frequently. How can I become a sage of steady wisdom? It's not enough to study the qualities of sages, but how can I become one of those? This is one way we can become a sage of steady wisdom, by doing all our work in a sattvic fashion. Sattvic fashion means mukta sangha, free from attachment, anahamvadi, without putting the I into it, with less egoism, dhriti utsaha samanvita, whatever work I do, I work with perseverance, with steadiness and with enthusiasm. Everything is worship. Everything is offering. With enthusiasm we have to work. Siddhya siddhya or nirvikara. When I do some work, I do the best I am capable of doing. And when the result comes, I'll accept it calmly without being disturbed whether it is success or failure. These are the qualities of a sita prajna, and we have to keep this in mind whenever we do any work, in any context, in any circumstance. As opposed to this, there are the rajasic workers. Rajasic workers, we should not try to be rajasic workers. What we should try to avoid, that is explained in the next verse, verse 27 in chapter 18. There Sri Krishna says, Ragi karma phala prepsur libdho himsatmako suchihi harsha sokanvita karta rajasa parikirtitaha rajasa karta. Rajasik karta. Person has rajasic tendencies. How does such a person work? Ragi. In Kannada, ragi means a grain. Here, raga means attachment. Without attachment, ragi, sattvic worker. Rajasic worker becomes attached to work and its results. Becomes attached to everything. Attachment is the worst thing. So ragi means as rajasic worker becomes attached to work. This is my work. This is not my work. I am not going to do it. Let somebody else do it. It's not my problem. That is attachment. Mine and not mine. Ragi. Attachment. Karma phala prepsuhu. Karma means action. Karma phala means the fruit of action. Prepsu means one who is desirous of the fruits of action. Expecting always to succeed. And if success does not come in spite of good effort, becoming disappointed, angry, bitter. That should not be. Such people are rajasic people. They want always to succeed. If they don't succeed, they become angry. But success is not in our hands. Other factors come into play that we studied in a different context. Other factors, besides what we put into the work, come into play, alter the equation and dictate the outcome. Weather, for example. What other people do, for example. These days, no work happens by one person. Everything is a group effort. Everything is a joint effort. The work that you are doing, a part of it is done in some other country, by some other company, by some other person whom we don't know. When you are When that person is working at night, you are working here at day, how much training that person has, his first day and work, whether he had an argument on his way to work, whether the equipment is malfunctioning or not, we don't know what equipment he is using. All those things that somebody else does somewhere in a remote area affects your work. How much control do we have? Therefore, we have to do what we are capable of doing to the best of our ability. And when the result comes, if it is not up to our expectations, and if it is ascribable to some failure of some other factor not within our control, then we have nothing to do. We have to accept the outcome. This is what is destined to be, supposed to be. A rajasic karta becomes disturbed. Ragi karma phala prepsu, always hoping to succeed. If success does not come, becoming disturbed. Himsatmakaha, with violence. Even keeping a book from, taking book from here to keeping it here should be done gently. Not like this. It's an inanimate object, doesn't complain. But I see some people when they leave a building, they slam the door or kick the door, they kick the car door. It's not right. The same divine consciousness pervades in everything in this universe. There's no place where it is not. It's all divine, appearing as the car, as the door, as the child, as other person, as good or bad. The whole universe is nothing but He. In the Upanishad, it says very tersely, this whole universe is Brahman itself. Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. What else is there? God alone appearing as the universe. Sri Ramakrishna saw this one. Everything in the Kali temple when he was doing worship was all pure consciousness, was all divine mother, including the cat which came there. In everything, the divine is present. Everything is divine itself, appearing in this form to us. Therefore, everything in this world, from the most insignificant thing onwards, we have to deal with that gently when we do some work. Gentleness. Speaking has to be gentle. Walking has to be gentle. Eating has to be gentle. Dealing with other people has to be gentle. Treating with the objects must be gentle. Handling objects must be gentle. Everything. That is it. Quality of a sita prajna. Otherwise, himsatmakam, everything done in a violent way, unnecessary use of force, not necessary. So we should emulate a sage of steady wisdom. Everything has to be done gently. I had the good fortune of seeing a Swami some years ago. And that person was a personification of gentleness. He was a great scholar, great yogi. And everything he did, there was a touch of gentleness to it. It was a joy to see him do things. When he was speaking, when he was walking, when he was eating, when he was dealing with people, there was this sweetness was there. This gentleness was there. So we had to be like that. Himsatmaka means rajasic worker does everything in a unnecessarily disturbing way, using excess force. Himsatmaka ashuchihi, impure. Our work environment, everything, materials we use, everything, instruments we use must be kept clean. Most important, our mind must be kept clean. The most important instrument we use in all work is our mind. Then other sense organs will come. If the mind is not pure, our work will be not of the good quality, not of good quality. Ashuchihi, harsha shoka anvitaha, given to joy and sorrow. If something good happens, oh, jubilant, celebrating. If something bad happens, they become angry, bitter, depressed, dejected. That oscillation has to be minimized and reduced. Harsha shoka anvitaha, sacha karta sattvika rajasa ucchate, rajasik karta. And worse than the rajasik karta is a tamasik karta. People are tamasik in nature. How do they work? They think that we should not do. A tamasic worker works like this. Ayukta prakrutas tabdaha sato naishkriti kolasaha విషాది దీర్ఘసూత్రీ చ కర్త తామస ఉచ్యతే. ఎ తామసిక్ కర్త పర్ఫార్మ్స్ ఆల్ యాక్షన్స్ అయుక్త వితౌట్ సెల్ఫ్ కంట్రోల్, వితౌట్ కంట్రోలింగ్ మైండ్ అండ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. వాట్ ఎవర్ మైండ్ సేస్, అలవింగ్ ది మైండ్ టు డూ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ వాంట్స్ టు డూ, వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ వాంట్స్ టు థింక్ ఇన్ అన్ అన్కంట్రోల్డ్ ఫ్యాషన్ వర్కింగ్, దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ గుడ్, దిస్ తామసిక్ టెండెన్సీ. ప్రాకృత మీన్స్ అన్రిఫైన్డ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ యాజ్ వీ డూ మస్ట్ బి రిఫైన్ ఇన్ రిఫైన్డ్ ఫ్యాషన్, నైస్ వే, నాట్ ఇన్ ఎ అన్రిఫైన్డ్ రఫ్ మేనర్. యుక్త స్తబ్ధ, స్తబ్ధ మీన్స్ ఆరోగెంట్, ఆరోగెన్స్ ఇస్ నాట్ నెసెసరీ. We have to be humble, gentle and humble. With humility we have to do all our actions. Seeing the divine presence in all, whenever you see somebody, whenever you see something, maybe an inanimate object, maybe an animal, maybe a plant, we have to be gentle in our thoughts. A tamasic person is not gentle. He is arrogant. And then shataha means deceitful. Deceit is the worst thing. Doing something and saying something else, that is deceit. We have to be transparent. What I think in my mind must be same as what I say in my speech, and that must be same as what I do in action. All the three instruments must be harmonized. Such a discipline is called arjavam. The word arjavam comes in several places in the Gita. Straightforwardness, transparency. Arjava means transparency. Thinking something, saying something else to mislead other people, and doing something entirely different from what I say, that is not good. That such a person cannot be a sage of steady wisdom. So these are things to be avoided. Vishadi means downhearted, always becoming despondent. Not necessary. We have to be enthusiastic. Dirghasutri means procrastinator. I'm one of those. What I do today, I'm postponing tomorrow. That is not good. A sage of steady wisdom has to be performs all actions at the time when they have to be done, not later. There's a saying in Hindi, what you want to do tomorrow, do it today. What you want to do today, do it now. In a minute, the whole world will change. When will you do if you keep on postponing things? Kal karai to aaj karo. Aaj karai to ab. Kal means tomorrow. If you want to do something tomorrow, why not think of doing it today if it is possible, if it is convenient? Aaj karai to ab. If you want to do it today, why not do it now? Why not postpone to the evening? Because we don't know what evening things will change in the evening. Palame paralai hoyagi. In one moment, whole thing, world will change. Things may change. We are thinking everything will go on smoothly until now. It means suddenly things will change. Whole world is changing every moment. What is happening in this world, everything is unpredictable. There is no guarantee that today, tomorrow will be same as today. Or today will be same as what it was yesterday. Palame paralai hoyagi feri karega. When will you do? Now is the time to do everything. Dirghasutri means a tamasic worker tries to postpone everything and procrastinates. That should not be done. A sage of steady wisdom does everything at the right moment when it has to be done, preferably now. So these are the qualities we have to practice. So a sage of steady wisdom, when Sri Krishna says withdraws all sense organs from sense objects, does not mean that he does not do any action. The required actions have to be done, required duties have to be fulfilled, but in a sattvic way, as explained in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. That is something we have to ask ourselves. How can I become a sage of steady wisdom? By doing all our actions in a sattvic fashion, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what we have to do. We have to do, what we do is what produces result. Not just what we study or believe in, but what we actually do is what causes transformation, brings results in our lives. We have to be sattvic workers. Then we go to the Next idea, and it verse number 60 in chapter 2, 260. Here there is a word of caution and also an instruction to be constantly vigilant. You have to be constantly watching our thoughts, our actions, our speech. What am I thinking? What am I saying? What am I doing? We have to be aware. We have to practice awareness or mindfulness. Without thinking, some thought is going, some thought is coming, I'm doing something, I'm saying something without awareness, that is not good. So Sri Krishna here emphasizes the practice of constant vigilance, watching our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. That is verse number 60 in chapter 2. There Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Yatato hyapikaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. If you are not vigilant, the mind and sense organs will take us away in unwanted directions and will reach unwanted destinations. Constant vigilance is very important quality of a Sita Prajna, person of steady wisdom. We should constantly be watching. What am I thinking? What am I saying? What am I doing? That is emphasized in this verse. Etato shapi, a person, even if it's a person is striving to become a Sita Prajna, Vipaschita Purusha, Vipaschita means Metavinaha, a person of high intellect, sharp intellect. Even such a person can be misled, can become forgetful. Last Friday, in Vivek Chudamani class, we talked about a discipline called mindfulness. Or we talked about a problem called forgetfulness, pramada. The pramada means inadvertence, forgetting what we should be thinking, what we should be doing, what we should be saying, but doing something else, which is not intended. Such an inadvertence can be a cause of great calamity in our lives. So inadvertence should not be there in our lives. Pramado Mrityurityaha, very famous incident in the Mahabharata. We don't want to go into that now. Pramada means forgetting what is to be done and doing something else. Inadvertently, inadvertence, that should not be allowed to happen. Even if a person is trying to be very attentive and vigilant, even for such a person who is an intelligent person, sometimes what happens, in a moment of inadvertence, and in a moment of forgetfulness, the mind and sense organs take us away in unwanted directions. That's what Sri Krishna says in this verse 260. Indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. Indriyani means sense organs. Sense organs include the mind. The mind is also a sense organ. How many sense organs we have? Not 5, not 10, but 11. 11 sense organs we have. 5 of perception, 5 of action, and the mind is also a sense organ. Sri Krishna says, mind is also a sense organ. 11th sense organ in the 13th chapter of the Gita. Indriyani dashekam cha. So the mind and sense organs, if you are not constantly vigilant, take us away. Even if for a moment, if you are inadvertent, forgetful, take us away in unwanted directions and land us in unwanted destinations. So the instruction here is be constantly vigilant about our thoughts, about our speech, about our actions. Otherwise, even a wise person is trying to be vigilant, even for a moment, if that person becomes inadvertent, forgetful, that may lead to some problem, some disaster. And the translation is 260. O Arjuna, the turbulent senses violently snatch away the mind of even a learned seeker striving after perfection. Yatatapi vipaschitaha purushasya. Even if a person is striving hard, even if a person is intelligent and diligent, even for such a person, if for a moment that person becomes forgetful, inadvertent, the mind and sense organs take that person away from the required direction, land that person in unwanted places. That will happen. In the Devi Mahatmyam, Durga Saptashati or Chandi, which many people chant, there is a this topic of inadvertence comes. There was a great, there was a king, and his king's name was Suratha. This Chandi story, as a sort of digression, because inadvertence comes there. The king Suratha lost his kingdom. The enemies came and took away, defeated him in action, and he had to run away to the forest to save himself. At night, he had to escape to the forest to save himself, leaving behind his capital, his kingdom, relatives, wife, queen, and everybody. So he's wandering in the forest, not knowing what to do, where to go. King. When he was wandering aimlessly in the forest, he came across another person who was equally miserable. The king asked him, "Why are you wandering here aimlessly?" That person says, "I was a businessman, I was a merchant, I had a business, but my partners cheated me and took away all the money, and I lost everything, and my wife and children also deserted me because I didn't have any money. So I ended up here in the forest, not knowing what to do, where to go." So they commiserate, mutual miseries. When they were commiserating like this, they noticed that there were at a distance there was a hermitage. They go to the hermitage. In that hermitage there was a sage, and the sage's name was Medhas. Then the two people, the king who had lost his kingdom and the businessman who had lost his business, they both explained their difficulties to the sage Medhas, and the sage gives them advice what to do, how the king can regain his kingdom, how the businessman can regain his business and lead a peaceful life. He gives them instructions, describes the glories of the Divine Mother Durga, and asks both of them to worship Divine Mother. They do, and they obtain their objectives. During the course of this discourse, the sage Medhas tells the king and the businessman this. He says, "One has to be constantly vigilant. Whether you are running a kingdom, whether you are running a business, whatever you are doing, you have to be constantly vigilant. You should never be inadvertent. Constantly watching what you are doing, what you are saying, what you are thinking. Otherwise, the result will be not very good, disastrous." So there, the sage says, "Jnaninam pichetamsi devi bhagavati hisa malada krishya mohaya mahamaya prayachati." The sage says to the king and the businessman, even if a seeker is a jnani, a man of person of knowledge, jnaninamapi chetamsi, chetamsi means the minds of jnanis also, sometimes if they are forgetful, mahamaya, the divine power, that will take away their sense of what is right, sense of judgment, and lands them in difficulty. Mahamaya balada krishya payachati chetamsi. Therefore, constant vigilance is advised. Sri Krishna says in the 60th verse, second chapter, describing the qualities of a citta prajna, says of steady wisdom, a person must practice constant vigilance. Because inadvertence can be very bad, disastrous. The story of inadvertence comes in the Mahabharata. Viveka Chudamani also, it comes. We don't have time to go into it. What happened was, in the Mahabharata story, outlines we all know, the king Dhritarashtra became old. We all become old. He became old. When old age was approaching, Dhritarashtra becomes a little bit thoughtful and also afraid of death. When we are young, we don't think about death. But when we are old, we think about death more and more. It's coming soon. So Dhritarashtra began to think about death. I'm going to die soon. I become old. What will happen after death? What is death? It must be very painful. He wanted to know more about death. Dhritarashtra. Tikavarava king. So he calls Vidura. Vidura was a jnani, a wise person, a sage. He asked Vidura, Dhritarashtra asked Vidura, Vidura, I am beginning to become afraid of death. Can you tell me what is death? What happens? Oh, I am afraid of death, he says. Vidura was a great jnani, very wise person, a sage, sagacious person. But Vidura says, sir, there is a better person who can answer your question about death. Better than I can answer. And that person is Sanat Kumara, son of Brahma. Dhritarashtra says, you are here, why don't you answer my question? Sanat Kumara is not here. Vidura says, no, I can bring him, I will summon him, he will come. He is a better person to ask, answer your question about death. So Sanat Kumara was summoned by Vidura. Sanat Kumara comes. And Dhritarashtra addresses this question to Sanat Kumara, sir, what is death? It is a very difficult thing. What is death? Nature of death. Sanat Kumara gives the best possible answer to this question of death. Sanat Kumara says, O Dhritarashtra, death of the body is not real death. If this body goes, another body comes. As you have seen in the Bhagavad Gita, that's not the end of our existence. Physical death of the body is not real death. Then what is death? Sanat Kumara says, if you forget even for a moment your divine nature, that you are divine, if you harbor the erroneous notion that you are the body and the mind, that forgetfulness is the worst possible mistake you can make, and that is worse than death. You should not be afraid of death, but you should be afraid of forgetfulness. Forgetting what we are is the worst possible mistake we can make. The biggest mistake we can make is forgetfulness. Pramada, the word uses is pramada. Pramado mrityurityaha bhagavan brahmanasutaha. In the Mahabharata, Brahmasan, Sanat Kumara says to Dhritarashtra, pramada is mrityu. Pramada means forgetfulness of our divine nature. Every moment we should practice awareness of our divine nature. Because always, that never changes. I am divine. That Lord is within me. When He is within me, how can I be impure? How can I be weak? How can I be bad? He is present within me every moment. Only I am not aware of His presence, but I must become aware of His presence. I must experience His presence every moment of my life. I must never allow myself to forget the divine presence within me. He is within me. The Lord is within me. That constant awareness must be maintained. If you don't do that one, if you forget the divine presence within us, thinking we are the body and the mind, drawn here and there by our desires and impulses, doing various things, and that's not the purpose of life. So forgetfulness of our divine nature is the biggest mistake we can do, worse than death. Pramado mrityuritya bhagavan brahmanasutaha. So pramada means inadvertence. That inadvertence should not be allowed to happen. Hastha prajna, said of steady wisdom, is constantly aware of what he is, who he is, what he is supposed to be thinking, what he is supposed to be saying and doing. And that is one of the disciplines we have to practice ourselves. If we want to become Sita Prajna, we should practice constant awareness, constant vigilance. We'll stop here today.